Hello and welcome to Mega City Book Club, the podcast all about the galaxy's greatest comics, mostly the British ones. I'm Eamon Clarke, and my guest is a comic book writer, an artist, a colourist who has worked for, amongst others, 2000 AD, Marvel UK, IDW, Antarctic Press, and Trident. He's also a visiting lecturer in comic book art at Staffordshire University. It's a great big book club welcome to John Charles. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Eamon. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Thank you for doing this.
My pleasure.
We met up briefly last week in the bar at Lawless last weekend and talked about doing a podcast, didn't we?
Indeed, that's where all the best people were.
BarCon has ever been the fun part of a terrific convention. And we're going to be talking about your own comics and projects in a moment. But before we get to that, I ask all my first-time guests about their own comic book origin story. So we'd be interested to hear about what were your first comic reading experiences.
Well, they're very old. I'm very old, I'm afraid. So they go back to the 60s when things like Pow and Terrific were reprinting things like Hulk and Spider-Man. I think that was the name of the comics. There was a Wham as well, as I recall.
Yes.
So I was reading those a bit, and that exposed me to Marvel comics, and I just found them so much more exciting than British comics, I'm afraid. A bit later, I met my friend Barry May, who's now my co-writer on Techno Freak, and he kind of introduced me to American Marvels, and more DCs than Marvel, to be honest. So I used to predict when the comics would come in and cycle around Guildford getting them from all different shops, because some shops would have stock of one comic and some would have another. Later on, I started collecting Marvels as well. I think my earliest Marvel was Starlin's Warlock. And that just blew me away. I was like, okay, I can read Marvel comics. They are good. Because up until then, I was a sort of DC boy.
Right.
I also did a fanzine. I was involved in an apazine, which I think was called Working Class Superhero, which is a sort of small press thing where people swap their sort of comics that they produce themselves or notes on comics or whatever. And it grew into a fanzine called Working Class Superhero, which is kind of famous. There's only two issues of it, but it's got the first appearance of Glenn Fabry in it. So that's pretty cool. And I saw Glenn at the weekend and showed him the comics.
Okay.
He promptly signed them, which I hadn't asked him to do, but that's fine.
Yeah, he was being very good. He was signing everything at the weekend at Lawless. When was that, those two issues of Working Class Superhero?
I'm thinking it's 78, 79, because I would have been 18 and 19.
Right.
Around about then. I think Glenn was a bit younger. I think he was 16 or 17. And his work in it is astonishing. It looks like Moebius or Robert Crumb or something. It's just phenomenal.
Right.
And I've got some early work in there, which is rather embarrassing, but it's promising. You know, for my age, I wasn't too bad.
And how did you move on from that to working for instance, Marvel UK and then 2000 AD?
Well, I went to college a bit later in life. I worked as a printer for 5 years, and then someone sent me to art college because they saw my drawings in my sketchbook and said, you shouldn't be here, you should be an artist. And I kind of agreed with them. So I went to art school for 4 years. Kind of got sidetracked by graphic design. I sort of fell in love with typography and became a graphic designer when I left for about 15 years. But then the little me inside me wouldn't let me go, and it said, you're supposed to be a comic artist, get on with it. So I managed to parlay my way into Trident Comics as a graphic designer. I met Dan Abnett there, who was ex-Marvel UK at that point, and he showed some stuff to people at Marvel UK, and I got a tryout on some stuff there. I drew an issue of Knights of Pendragon as John Mould, which was my name back then. It was a bit of an embarrassing name. I don't use it anymore. Well, it went from there, but that sort of fell apart when Marvel UK imploded. I'm sure you probably know all about that.
Yes, yeah.
So, and a lot of people graduated to American Marvel, but sadly I didn't. So I was unemployed again and scratching around as a graphic designer. I went to the last ever UCAC, which I think is 1998, because I looked it up, in Manchester. And that was a really bizarre experience. I went on the Saturday and got bored and, well, I went to a hotel that was dreadfully awful, and I thought, I can't stay here. So I went back to Leicester that night, woke up in the morning thinking, you're an idiot, you're supposed to be in Manchester. So I drove to Manchester furiously on the Sunday morning and got there quite early, and I met David Bishop having his breakfast, And I said, do you mind looking at my portfolio? And he said, yeah, just give me a minute. And he did. And there was one piece in it that he liked, which was aimed at DC, which was a Transmetropolitan cover that I'd done purely on spec. And a lot of people think it's a real cover when I show it to them, but it's not. Because being a graphic designer, I dummied in the logo and everything. And it's a nice piece. I still like it. It's got the main Transmetropolitan character holding a television, but his arm's kind of going into the screen and he's holding a baby inside the screen. And there's a sort of optical illusion going on there. You're not sure whether that's his arm or whether it's a picture of his arm. So it was kind of quite a clever piece. And David Bishop liked that and said he'd give me a go. He said he'd commissioned me to do a pin-up, which may or may not become a cover. And it did. It was a picture of Finnegan Sinister with wearing some glasses with some blood splats in them. And I'm quite proud of that piece of work. It took me 2 weeks, and I did it with a mouse on a Mac.
Right.
Which is insane. I wouldn't do that anymore.
So I wanted to ask you, obviously, about your own comics, Techno Freak, and a new collection or a new sort of project for Techno Freak that's coming up shortly. But let's go back to the start with it. When did you come up with the idea? Where did the idea come from?
Well, I'm quite clear on where the idea came from. I'm not sure about how long ago it was. I reckon it was 20-odd years ago, around about the year 2000. So that's more than 20 years ago now, isn't it? I saw a rave poster. I was actually working with a guy doing rave posters in Leicester. And I came out of that place and there was a poster already up and it said Techno Freak on it. It was to do with techno music. And I thought, that word's amazing. I'm having that. And I kind of kept it to myself ever since and started using it in my sketchbooks and doodling around the concept. Initially, I created a team of techno freaks who were kind of like the X-Men, but a bit more whacked out. And they never went anywhere. I could never seem to make it work. So the story sort of gestated over those 20-odd years. We went through various iterations. At one point, I had a techno freak who was a monster. But I eventually, although I'd done a lovely picture of it, and I still use it to this day, I really like it. It's kind of brown and yellow and really well lit and stuff. And it changed at one point. I decided to make John Sherlock a private eye. And then I realised he was called Sherlock. And he obviously thought he was Sherlock Holmes, but actually he's a bit of a dick and I'm not intelligent enough to write Sherlock Holmes fiction. So I made it into a comedy and he needed someone to talk to. So I created Maurice, his cat, who was originally called Maurice and was from Yorkshire. But my co-writer Barry insisted it was Maurice and he was French. And Maurice talks, he breaks the fourth wall in the way that Deadpool does and some other characters do. So he's forever doing asides to the audience. And it's really funny because he's become everybody's favourite character except mine. Because I was always keen on John Sherlock himself and the cyborg quiet side of things. And I always kind of wanted to do a serious techno freak story, but it's never happened. Because Maurice is in it, they always come out as comedies.
And you mentioned, obviously, you got some other people involved to help you with this comic. You mentioned Barry May. And then Tom Newell at Staffordshire University?
Absolutely, yeah. I remember Tom coming for an interview. He was a mature student. And I happened to be on duty that day and I saw him. And, you know, he wanted a place on the course and he more than deserved it. He could have walked the course and he did. He was virtually fit to work for 2000 AD then. And with 3 years training and, you know, a bit of prodding here and there, he's become a genius. He bleeds comic art, that guy. I just love his work. So it was a really happy meeting. And we were sat in the bar one day. Because he was a mature student, I kind of became friends with him as well as his tutor. And he sat there, and I'd shown him my sketchbook and shown him various bits of Techno Freak. And he said, John, you're never going to get this done. This has been going on for years, and you haven't finished anything, you know. And I'm like, well, you're right. And he said, I'll draw it for you. And I went, OK, then. And it was as simple as that. I really did say, OK, then. And we went away and produced issue one. There's a black and white version of it that's very rare that he did for his college, but I coloured it and reconfigured the pages so they actually fit the page and stuff like that. Yeah, so we've now done four issues. I mean, the first issue was complete in and of itself, in that we wanted to do a complete story because we never knew if there'd be an issue two.
Right.
But issue two was a fairly good success for us, and we did, you know, we've now done four, plus various spin-offs. We're in the first issue of the 77 with a short story.
Right.
And that was co-written by another Staffs Uni student called Joe Assey. Yeah, and we're in the first annual, drawn by a friend of mine called Antonio Valgene, and that's a lovely piece of work. And we've managed to reprint all of those in a collected edition, which we did with an Australian publisher called Puppet Theatre. But we've still got the UK rights and stuff, so we can do what we like with that material. And I'm still pushing that graphic novel, as it were.
But and the graphic novel, that's available now, is it? We can get that from your website or...?
Not really, no. I'm the world's worst salesman. what I did, I put some with my local comic shop, which is Dark Star in Cove.
Right.
So if anyone wants them, the best thing to do is contact Dark Star in Cove in Farnborough, and they'll get back to me, and I'll get some more printed, I promise. I've actually got one left at the moment, which is a bit embarrassing. There we are.
And you put the issues out in the UK under your own imprint of Sunday Lunch Comics, is that right?
That's correct, yeah. Yeah.
Right.
The idea of Sunday Lunch Comics is we're very lazy. We only ever work at Sunday lunchtime, and even then we don't do too much because we're busy eating.
Right. You've mentioned that the lead character is John Sherlock. He's got his robot cat sidekick, Maurice, as Maurice insists, and so on. Just tell us a little bit more about the setting and the stories and what exactly a techno freak is.
Right, well... it's slightly shrouded in mystery as to what exactly a techno freak is. My original concept, which I'm not sure if it's gone by the by or not, is that there was a fad in the future for having, rather like you'd have a tattoo, you'd have a piece of technology implanted in you, and this is sort of happening now, you know, people being biochipped. So you'd have a sort of, you know, like your mobile phone would be implanted in your head, or you'd have an iPad wrapped around your head and burrowing into your brain. So you'd be constantly online. And the idea is that most of the techno freaks who had this technology went totally insane because it's a stupid thing to do. But John Sherlock, for his sins, drinks too much, and that's enabled him to stay relatively sane. Some people think that's autobiographical, but I deny it.
And he gets into a variety of scrapes, and his supporting cast, like, for instance, the lovely Loretta... she seems to end up being kidnapped a lot, doesn't she?
It's happened at least twice for sure, yes.
Yes.
And it does happen in issue one and in issue two. And I did slightly castigate my co-writer for that, but he said it's a trope, you know, and that's what we do. So, yeah, she is rather prone to being kidnapped in the way that Doctor Who's assistants were always wandering off for no good reason.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah, I don't know what to say about it. Loretta's a surprising character. She actually surprised me when I was writing the tail end of issue one, in that she was meant to be John's ex-girlfriend. But it turns out she's actually really in love with him and has been since college. And that kind of grew. At the tail end of issue one, she just turns towards him in a really coquettish way, sort of pulls him back in, because no one else wants her at that point. So she's incredibly self-serving. Very dangerous as well. She's the only person in Technifreak so far who actually carries a gun and will shoot people with it.
And it's interesting, you talk about Loretta and you talk about Maurice, almost as if these characters have sort of developed by themselves beyond what you originally intended. Maurice insisting on breaking the fourth wall and being that it's pronounced in French rather than Yorkshire and so on.
That's how I see it very much. I read a book by Stephen King called On Writing about, and he talks about character and how important character is. And one of the first exercises I used to do with the students at Staffs Uni is create a character with a checklist of features and stuff, and then you draw your character. It's one of my best ever lessons. I love doing that lesson. Because without a character, you've got nothing. I mean, you might have a story, but most stories have got characters in. So I think you need a character before you go anywhere. And we've now got a family of characters. Barry invented Greta. I invented Neville, who's basically a thug. Because John Sherlock's a very non-physical character, Neville's there as the muscle, basically, in case anybody needs punching. And, but yes, I do feel that characters have grown in their, and they've got their own voices and their own mannerisms and their own cliches, if you will, I suppose. But yeah, I enjoy it. I love watching them grow.
And if I just mention John Sherlock a little bit more quickly, he's got this sort of slightly Borg-like implants and the bald head, the red bionic eye on one side. It's a very distinctive look for him that's obviously lovely for the various artists and yourself to draw and colour.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, again, one of my things in my character design lesson is that you should be able to recognise a character from their face alone. So that's why he's so distinctive. And yeah, a lot of people point out the Borg thing, and they're not wrong. You know, it is a bit of a cliche, but it makes him distinctive. Funny enough, originally the eye was on the other side and Tom Neill shifted it, and I really don't know why.
So you've done four issues. There's a fifth issue in the works. There's a graphic novel collection of the first four, plus some other bits and pieces. As you say, you've been featured in the 77, both in issue one and in the annual they did, which, of course, were available this weekend at Lawless as well. Now, the next stage in the project is you're starting a Kickstarter to do the next stage of Technofreak. Tell us what the next sort of stage in the development is.
Well, we're launching what is effectively a spin-off comic. It was originally going to be an annual, and it still is in a way, but I'm calling it Technofreak Apocrypha Number 1, with Apocrypha meaning a story that's not necessarily true. Not that any of the stories are necessarily true, but the reason for that is I've opened it up to other writers and other voices and other artists. At one point, I actually seriously considered making Technofreak public domain, but that's not happened. So I don't think you own him, because I do, being Tom and Barry anyway. Yeah, and I just wanted to involve other people. Other people are so excited by it. And it's nice, you know, we've got some really good people on board and from various places. We've got some professionals who've worked for 2000 AD who I can give you a list of, probably.
Yeah, tell us some of the people you've got involved, because you've got new writers and new artists for this 80-page special, haven't you?
Absolutely, yeah. There's a guy I met at Lawless a couple of years ago called Mark Spencer, who's written a story that Clint Langley, no less, is illustrating. Fraser Irving's done us a cover. Steve Yowell's done us a cover. We've got an exciting new talent from Colombia called David Escobar, who's 25 and is way too mature for his age in terms of his ability. He's fantastic. He's actually done two stories for us, one of which I may have to hold back because the comic's supposed to be 80 pages. And at the moment, if everyone does their work, I've probably got 86 pages worth of comic.
Right.
Now, what I might do, to be honest, is make that a stretch goal on the Kickstarter. So if we do well enough, then I might bump up the page count so we can have it all in there, which would be the nicest result. And the alternative is, I've got to save one of his stories for Technofreak number 5, which is in production. Tom Neill has drawn some pages for that already. The biggest problem, I'm sorry about this, but it is money. You know, I've got none as of today. And, you know, we've produced all this marvellous material that needs to get out there. And some people want paying for what they've done, which is quite fair enough. And I think people should be paid if they're producing brilliant comic book work. So, yeah, we're running a Kickstarter.
Okay, so Technofreak Apocrypha is going to be at least an 80-page special. It's going to be perfect bound. It's got all these great writers and artists in it. I was actually talking to Mark Spencer, I think, at Lawless this last weekend as well.
Yeah.
You've got, obviously, extra artwork, some of which you sent me to have a look at by people, as you say, like Steve Yeoll, Clint Langley, Fraser Irving, and so on. As this episode comes out, we're going to time it so this episode comes out that the week that the Kickstarter launches. What are your sort of targets and how long is it going to run for the Kickstarter?
Well, to be honest, I'm still going over the figures and trying to get the target down. But there are people who want paying and I want to pay them. So the target's higher than perhaps it should be. At the moment, it's looking likely that we're going to need to raise £6,000. if we could go over that, that'd be amazing. And if we could, you know, reach a stretch goal and print the extra story as well, that'd be well worth it, I think. The extra story, by the way, is written by me, and it's called The Bog Beast, and it's toilet humour, I'm afraid. I'm slightly ashamed of that story, but I think it's funny, so, and so does everyone else who's seen it, so we should be all right.
So obviously people are going to be able to pledge and get the Technofreak Apocrypha collection itself. There'll be presumably some other variants and rewards along the way, particularly if stretch goals are reached, I'm guessing.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, the basic thing will be a set of 5 prints of the covers and various prints from inside it. We've got a few pin-up pages. I'm looking at doing T-shirts, which I'm literally just still looking into as of the last couple of days. We've got some pages from Andy Lambert's strip, which I think we've got 5 or 6 pages of artwork that he's donated to the cause. What would be lovely, and is a little bit money dependent, I've got to get some money to Hal Laren, and we might have some digital sculptures of John, Sherlock and Maurice. My friend Antonio Valgine designed a sculpture which I can hold up and show to you, Eamon.
Oh, wow, yes.
Yes, exactly. So we need to get some more of those done in resin. And they could be quite a high-level reward because resin doesn't come cheap, I'm afraid. There's Maurice.
There's Maurice, the robot cat sidekick, yep.
Yeah, so little cute ones of those. So I'll try and get those organised. But also sketches. I've spoken to Fraser Irving and he's agreed to do us 5 sketches. Clint Langley's indicated that he's probably going to do that as well. But I need to nail that one down. I'll do some sketches. I'll do as many sketches as people want. So there's that as well. So we've got quite a few things. Yeah, to be fair, we're still building the Kickstarter as I speak. So the reward levels are being set now, basically.
And I know you're working on a sort of launch video for the Kickstarter as well, which will be out, as I say, the same week as this podcast drops. So follow the links in the show notes here or search for Technofreak on Kickstarter and you'll be able to see the launch of this exciting new project, John.
Yeah, well, it is exciting. I've been on this for 2 years, as Mark Spencer pointed out to me, because I originally spoke to him about it 2 years ago and he wrote his story then. If you'd seen what I've seen, the pages that have come in are absolutely brilliant. I just love it when I get an open an email and it's from Clint Langley or someone and there's a brand new page of artwork in it. I've actually been colouring Clint's stuff. He's been doing tonal black and white drawings and I've been colouring them, which is an honour. His work is phenomenal. His versions of Technofreak and Maurice are really out there. It looks like H.R. Giger's designed Maurice. And, you know, some people are sort of going, oh, that's not Maurice, that's wrong. And I'm like, this is a... You know, it's almost like an Elseworlds thing. There's nothing wrong in Technofreak Apocrypha. You can do what you like, basically. So, yeah, it's been a labour of love and it's coming to fruition. I really feel everything's happening. I'm making a video with a guy here, a friend of mine called Steve. So, yeah, my friend's working on the video with us and he's doing several... He's doing a green screen Maurice. We'll actually have facial movement on it and me stroking his head. There's some tiny bits of me to camera. I was recording some music for it last night because I play guitar a bit and I'm trying to get something really tense and compelling to be the bed for the video. I've done a lot of voiceover work and acting, which is all very strange to me. It's got to be done. Someone's got to do it.
Yeah.
I do feel a bit of a weight on my shoulders with this project, to be honest. I'm really worried that I might die before it comes out, but we'll get there.
We'll get there. Right. Well, as I say, look in the show notes for the link. Look on Kickstarter for Technofreak. Yeah, get on board and support this project. Let's get some more Technofreak and all this wonderful additional artwork. And as you say, you've got the advantage of seeing some beautiful artwork coming in from some great big-named artists. We play this Grail page game on the podcast where we imagine original art is available and affordable and we can get it. Now, I know that some of the artwork for Technofreak has already been snapped up. But if there was a piece by another artist that you would love to own the original of to sort of keep and hang on your wall, something's, you know, in the Technofreak world, what would it be?
Well, you're dead right. Most of Clint's pages, the originals, have actually been snapped up by the writer, which is fine. It's all good. And Clint's getting paid, which he deserves. So to answer your question, I would have loved to have one of those, but I'm not going to get one. Fraser's cover is digital, so I could get a print of it. And that's beautiful. It's really nice. And so Stevie Earle's cover, it's really well composed. It's got a sort of classic triangular composition to it. And I coloured that as well, so that was fun. Ultimately, to stretch your question a bit, I'd like to get Bill Sienkiewicz to draw Technofreak.
Ooh.
Even if it's just a pin-up. That's going to cost some money as well. There'll probably have to be a separate Kickstarter, isn't it?
Yeah, I should imagine it's not quite so easy to get hold of a piece of artwork from Bill Sienkiewicz, but we'll try.
Virtually. Yeah. It's funny how well connected people in this industry are, and I know several people who know Bill Sienkiewicz, so it's not beyond the pale.
Fantastic stuff. So we've got, we'll put some of the cover images out on the socials when this episode comes out as part, you know, to sort of get people on board and excited in this project. As I say, we're going to look for Kickstarter for the week of this podcast and support this project. We can find more of your work on your own website, can't we?
Absolutely, yeah. I set up a website with a friend of mine who very kindly hosts it for me, and I've got the world's greatest it's not a .com at all. It's johncharles.art.
Perfect.
So that's it, www.johncharles.art. There's various bits of my stuff on there, some of my colouring, some of my original pieces, some Technofreak pieces. There's a page where you can contact me, which doesn't give away my email address. It's all good. I love it. I should do more work on that site, actually. I haven't updated it for a while, and I probably should.
Well, you'll be all over the Mega City Book Club socials when this episode comes out. Is Technofreak on any of the social media itself as a project or with you?
Well, you've got my Facebook page, but I've also set up a special Technofreak one called Technofreak World.
Perfect.
So if you go to Facebook and search for Technofreak World, Technofreak's all one word and World's another word, you'll find that, and all the news about it goes on there, basically. I've been slowly leaking bits of artwork to sort of stimulate some interest. I have been told by people that I need to be way more active on social media and be on Twitter and or X, as it's called now, and other platforms. And, you know, I'm working on that as well. I'm working on so many things, it's untrue. So I must get a new to-do list, to be honest.
So, John, obviously I want to thank you for giving up your time to do the podcast. Now, also in the thank yous and mentions, I know you've got a few other people who are involved in the Kickstarter and the project and the Technofreak world that you wanted to thank and mention here.
Yeah, definitely. There's around about 23 people involved in this production. I think that's the right number, and I haven't got a list of all 23 of them, so I apologise to anyone I leave out here. Obviously, there's the professionals we've named earlier, like Fraser Irving and Stevie Howell and Clint Langley. But there's also Tom Newell, who's the co-creator of Technofreak with me. He's done 9 pages in the anthology. And there's Mike Walters, who's brand new, who was in the same year as Tom at Stafford University. So I used to teach Mike as well. And he's now a professional, works for 2000 AD, as does Tom Newell. There's Alan Holloway. There's Mark Spencer. Christoph Rodriguez from Spain, Emily Edwards, another ex-Staffordshire University person, Clara de Rombers, she's Staffs Uni as well. And for me, the big one is this David Escobar from Colombia, who I think I mentioned earlier. His work is just phenomenal, and I want to live long enough to see him become a star. So, yeah, we've got some good people involved. There's letters as well. We've got Nikki Fox Robot and Rob Jones lettering for us. There's an assistant of Nikki Fox Robot whose name escapes me at the moment. I'm sorry about that. But, as I say, I think there's 23 people in all. So, you know, there's an awful lot of talent involved in this production. It's not something we've thrown together lightly. It's absolutely brilliant.
And we also wanted to mention your old boss, Adrian Tooth.
Yeah, I used to work for Adrian. He got me in at Stafford University, having met him at a con in London. via a friend of mine who also worked at Stafford University, a guy called Mark Garner, who's one of my oldest friends. I used to be in a band with him. So he took me on to do various bits at Stafford University, which kind of grew into a part-time position for 3 years. And then I started getting work at 2000 AD, so I sort of promptly left. But there we are. I'm still in touch with Stafford University and still do the odd lecture for them. Sometimes do stuff online, which is handy because, you know, I live in Guildford and they're in Stoke-on-Trent. But Adrian's a great bloke and he's a really talented cartoonist in his own right in a sort of newspaper cartoon style. So he's in there as well. He drew something in black and white and I've coloured it and it looks lovely.
Fantastic stuff. Lots of great people involved in the Technofreak world and in the new Technofreak Apocrypha Kickstarter. As I say, follow the links in the show notes. Head to johncharles.art on the internets and find Technofreak World on Facebook for all the details there. John, great stuff. Thank you for giving up your morning to talk about it. And thanks for the drink in the bar last week at Lawless.
My pleasure. Yeah, it was lovely to meet you properly. I know apparently we'd met before, but I've got the world's worst memory.
You've signed stuff for my various charity projects in the past and very kindly. And yeah, we had a great chat at Lawless. It was great fun.
Good. Thank you. Nice to meet you properly.
Thank you, John. And so with some timey-wimey stuff, John, we recorded all that a few weeks ago. We're dropping in this little extra bit because we've got an update on the Kickstarter, which, as this episode comes out on the 21st, should be just about ready, I think. It should be dropped.
I think it should be up and running, yes, by then. So I'm currently finalising the Kickstarter. I should be submitting it for approval on Friday or Monday at the latest. That probably takes 3 or 4 days. And then we'll be launching about a week later. So we should be live by the 21st, yes.
And live already on your Facebook page is the Kickstarter video that you've had done, which looks pretty impressive.
Thank you. That was directed by a friend of mine called Steve Mercer. It's, as you say, it's on the Technofreak World Facebook page, so people can check it out there.
Yeah, that tells you what you need to know about Technofreak Apocrypha and about what's coming up. And like I say, it's fairly straightforward. If we go to Kickstarter now and search for Technofreak Apocrypha, or if we find your Facebook page for Technofreak World, we're going to get all the details of the Kickstarter there, aren't we?
Yeah, absolutely. It should be fine.
Yeah, very exciting. So looking forward to this. As I say, follow the links in the show notes. Follow the links from Technofreak World on Facebook and you'll find your way to the Kickstarter, or just search for Technofreak Apocrypha on Kickstarter and you'll find everything you need to get on board and back this project.
Yeah, please do back us. It's a very worthwhile project, I think. We've got loads of top artists in it. It's going to be a killer of an indie comic, I think. Obviously, I'm blowing my own trumpet, but there we are. I think it's pretty good, so go for it. Thank you.
And we might see you with copies at the odd event in the coming year, hopefully, plus some other Technofreak comics.
Yes, we've still got stock of 1 to 4 of Technofreak, or I only just got stock of issue 1, to be honest. I'm doing London Film and Comic Con this weekend, and I suspect they might go then. But we've got the graphic novel collection as well, which collects all the issues and some bonus strips as well. So there's a lot on offer. But yeah, I mean, I'm here today to promote Technofreak Apocrypha, and I think that's going to be a major indie comic. So hopefully you'll like it.
Looking forward to it, John.
Thank you.
And thank you to everyone for listening to Megacity Book Club. As ever, follow the pod and find all of these links at megacitybookclub.com. Follow the podcast on the socials, Facebook, Instagram, Threads, Blue Sky, Mastodon, the 2000 AD forums. We're probably on a brand new social media platform called French Robotic Pussycat. And you can email me at mcbcpodcast@gmail.com if you've got a book of your own that you want to come on the podcast and talk about. So until next time, when we're passing judgment on another great book, it's a goodbye from me and...
It's goodbye from me, John Charles. Thanks for listening.